young artist. And would you all do me a favor and come move forward so I don't feel like I'm yelling at you? The other thing is, I had made two formats of notes. And so the one that was uploaded was the booklet, which looks kind of funny. So I made copies of the booklet because my other format, I guess, didn't come through. So if you'd like a booklet to help take notes, because like I said, it looks kind of funny on the guidebook, then these are up here. And you're more than, yes, that'd be great. Thank you. And you're welcome to have one. Anyone else like a booklet? I don't know if we should leave them somewhere. I'll put them up here, and if anybody comes and they want to sneak up and get one, that would be great. Well, welcome. I hope you're having a great day so far. It is really my privilege to have been asked to speak on this topic. It is very dear to my heart. My name is Sandy Floyd, for those of you that don't know me, and I'm from Kirksville, Missouri. I am a violist, and I have played for 44 years. I also play violin. I actually started playing violin when I started teaching, because it's easier to teach with a violin than a viola. And I currently teach instrumental music, which is band, orchestra, and general music at Life Church School, as well as various other classes. And I play in the Truman State University Orchestra. So before we start here, I really do feel, I've always felt with my students that whenever God gives me a student, that they are there by design. It's not just a, you know, happenstance. And I really do feel that you that are here today, I really do feel like the Lord has a word for you. And what, as I was preparing for this morning and just praying, kind of like what Matt spoke last night, I really feel like God wants to breathe on all of you, and he wants to give you a fresh wind. He wants to stir something up in you. He wants to awaken something in you. And so that's my prayer, that as I'm speaking, as I'm sharing, that something will just be ignited in your heart again. And if you're already an artist, that's great. I just hope that you will be greatly encouraged today. So let's pray before we start. Lord, we recognize that you are the one true God, and that worship towards you is the first step in everything that we do, in all wisdom and knowledge. And God, I just give you this time. I pray that every word that I speak would have life in it. And I pray that everything that is presented today would bring glory unto your name, so that these people would be able to do the same, to bring glory to your name in everything that they do. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the arts have been given, and they're a way to put on display the glory and the indescribable beauty of the Lord. They don't always, they're unique and special, but they're set apart from other practices. And we know from the Word of God that everything was given at creation. And so because we are made in God's image, we have that creative power that he gave us. And the outcome, though, with the arts doesn't always serve a practical outcome. It's more aesthetic, okay? It sometimes is just for our enjoyment. But it puts on display the creativity of the Lord that he gave to man. And because we're made in his image, we have that same ability. And I love in Colossians 1, 15 through 18, it says that we look at this sun and see God's original purpose in everything created. For everything, absolutely everything, above and below, visible and invisible, rank after rank of angels, everything got started in him and finds its purpose in him. And I am so thankful for that. So the arts have been given as a gift to the earth a gift to man and a gift to the church, which is an area that the church needs to steward and to produce fruit accordingly. So, first of all, I want to define what fine arts are, okay, and what they are not, because that's important, I think, to know. So, as I said in the introduction, really fine art was developed purely for an aesthetic purpose, and it's appreciated for its beauty and its creativity. Historically, there are five main arts. There's painting, sculpture, architecture, music, and poetry. And the performing arts include theater and dance. Today, the fine arts can also are commonly include film, photography, video production, editing, design, sequential art, conceptual art, and printmaking. If you don't know what sequential art is, probably the easiest way to explain that would be like a comic strip or something that visually would take you through a process. And then conceptual art, I love this. This is a good example of conceptual art right here. This you take something that really maybe is not an art form, and you know, if we go back and think with painting, sculpture, architecture, and you make it art. So that's what conceptual art, which I think is really fun. So the word fine in fine arts does not describe the quality of the work. Rather, it describes the quality of the discipline. So there's a difference there. So throughout this presentation, I'm going to share my story, and really the goal is not to talk about myself. The goal is to share with you what God did in one person's life, in my life, and how hopefully it'll give some insight and give some idea of how God places within a human being his gifting of the arts and then makes them an artist. And again, the purpose of art is to bring beauty to the earth. And that beauty is really from the throne room. So my story starts from a very early age. I was surrounded by classical music. My mom listened to classical music all the time. My dad, being of Hispanic background, listened to cultural music all the time. So I had it, I was surrounded by it. They still listen to that music. And so whenever I go home, I can hear that, especially in my dad's workshop. My mom played violin when she was very young, and my dad really is incredibly musical. He sings very well, and he can whistle almost anything. I believe that if he had been given the opportunity to have music, he would have been a very good musician. And I see that amongst my siblings. Because we're all very artistic, and three of us played instruments, and then some art form is in my two brothers and my sister. So when he was in high school, he was drafted into the Navy and was put on a carrier in near the seas of Japan. And so at that time, this was for World War II, the way that they gave the commands was through a boatswain pipe. I don't know if any of you have seen that, or do you know what I'm talking about? It's a little pipe. It's actually very difficult to play, and he was very good at it, and obviously those commands had to be right, because if you got the sounds wrong, then of course there would be confusion. So he had a natural ability and a natural talent to do that, so that's what he did, and even today he still plays it. And whenever there's a retirement of some Navy official, he's called upon to play to, you know, wish them well. So not only hearing classical music, but hearing music of my heritage, hearing Mexican music, hearing Indian music, hearing Irish tunes, that was all a part of me as I was growing up. And I didn't realize at the time that God was using that to shape something in me. So there's a similar story in the Bible that I love. It's in Exodus 31, verses 1 through 6. So this says, "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'See, I have chosen Bezalel, son of Uri, and son of Ur, of the tribe of Judah, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God, with wisdom, with understanding, with knowledge, and with all kinds of skills to make artistic designs for work in gold, silver, bronze, to cut and set stones, to work in wood, and to engage in all kinds of crafts. Moreover, I have appointed Aholiab, son of Ahizamak of the tribe of Dan, to help him. Also, I have given ability to all the skilled workers to make everything I have commanded you. So first, God places within an individual the Spirit of God concerning arts. And then second, it comes with wisdom, it comes with understanding, it comes with knowledge of that skill to make things, to create things. And he not only fills, but he appoints and he calls those individuals. Deep inside of their hearts, they know the artistic gift given to them. He gives the ability and then he creates the opportunity for it to come to life. There's a command, so to speak, from heaven for these arts to be made, to exist here on earth. And I have seen this over and over and over and over again as I teach. When a student chooses an instrument, it's like their hand was made for it. They just know what to do with it. Sometimes when I would teach art, I would give stuff, here, make something out of this or whatever. And I was amazed how some kids would just like taking this would come up with something so creative and so beautiful. And so that's just so awesome to experience. In my general music classes, I'm continually amazed of how I will put on a certain genre of music and some kids just come to life. It really strikes a chord in them. Something happens, and I just see something happen in their life, the way that they respond to it. So this leads me to the next point of training, which, remember from the definition, it's the quality of the discipline. Now, God could have made his tabernacle very practical and very functional, but instead, he wanted to make it beautiful. He chose men who had the ability to make it beautiful. And I don't know what your role is in your church, or if you are a leader, or if you're just a person who is an artist, but God knows, and he will provide what you need. If you are a leader, he will provide for you, I can't remember how to do this guy's names, Bezalel and Aholiab. He will provide you with people like that. But then he will also provide with you many skilled workers. At the end of that verse, it says, I've given the ability to skilled people. He'll surround you with that if this is something that you are wishing to bring into your church. And along with that, again, he will fill you with his Spirit. He will give you the wisdom and the understanding to know what to do with this area. When an individual recognizes that they have a desire for a skill or the arts, they have a responsibility for it. And remember, everything that God gives, there is purpose. He did not put anything on this earth without purpose. There is purpose for it. So I'd like to look at some verses. The first one is Proverbs 22:29, and it says, "And as for those who are skilled in their work, they will be recognized and invited to serve kings rather than regular folk." In Colossians 3:23, it says, "In all you work, in all the work you are doing, work the best you can. Work as if you're doing it for the Lord and not for people." And then this next one, I will explain as I go on, but it's from Jeremiah 6:16, and it says, "Stand at the crossing and consider the ancient path, for it is good and it leads to me. Walk on this path and you will find rest for your souls. But they have said, we will not walk on this road." The last one is Matthew 25:14-30. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to him. To one he gave 5 bags of gold, to another 2 bags of gold, and to another 1. Each according to his ability. I think it's good to underline he entrusted his wealth, and then it was according to their ability. And then he went on his journey. The man who received the 5 bags of gold went at once and put his money to work and gave 5 bags more. So also with the one with 2 bags of gold, he gained 2 more. But the man who received the 1 bag went off, dug it in a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. We see from these verses in the Word that special abilities are given from the Lord. They are not given to us just for ourselves, but they are given to serve and to be a blessing in some respect. If anything, they bless the Lord. Even the most arrogant artist has an honest desire to share what's inside of them. And whether they recognize it or not, it is from the Lord, and the gifts are without repentance. God doesn't take them back. When He gives, they are given. In raising our young artists, it's important to make sure that their gift is handled properly so that 100-fold will be made on it, no matter how big or how small. It's important that they know that they have a responsibility for it. So I started viola lessons when I was in fourth grade, and music became my life. It was truly my outfit, my outlet in life, and I just felt like I fit. I fit in orchestra. I didn't know if I was good or halfway decent, but it didn't matter. I enjoyed it so much. I had several teachers who were key in guiding and shaping me, teaching me to play well. At the leading of my first teacher, I auditioned for an honor orchestra in sixth grade, but I didn't make it. There were too many students that auditioned, and I didn't make the cut. I remember her being puzzled about this, but I didn't play well in front of people, and I don't think that she knew that. But I didn't know that I needed this situation. I needed that first time because it was setting me on a path for my future. So the next year I auditioned and I made it in, and then I participated in these honor groups until I graduated from high school. God truly blessed me, and I ended up doing exceptionally well. In my senior year of high school, and at the leading of my private instructor, I auditioned for a music scholarship at the University of Arizona in Tucson. I was accepted with a full tuition waiver for 4 years. In the midst of this, God had another plan, and that was to meet Him. I wasn't a Christian yet, but I became a Christian just 2 weeks before this audition. And actually, that's a whole nother incredible story. So my life changed dramatically in the span of about 2 weeks, and this was when I was 18. So I didn't know at the time that God was going to make sure that what had been placed in me would have the right environment to grow and to blossom and eventually serve His purpose. He provided the means to be professionally trained as a musician and as a teacher. It's important to do things right. I have known people that feel like formal training is vain, or it's too much of the world, or it puts you in an atmosphere that is not godly or not good. But the Word says that God gives us wisdom and knowledge and understanding. And I also believe that if God is the creator of everything, then He created formal training. And I really do feel in my heart that, like me, whatever deposit that He has put in you, He's going to be faithful to make sure that it's handled appropriately. So you don't have to fear that you're going to be put in a compromising environment. And yes, we need to draw on that wisdom. We need to draw on that understanding. We need to seek and make sure that wherever we get our training is good. Okay? And that's referring back to the verse in Jeremiah, when God says, walk on this path and you'll find rest for your souls, find the ancient path. Don't try to reinvent the wheel. God really has what you need. So be careful about saying, no, I don't want to go that way. I want to go this way. Just like me, I really feel that He will guide your young artists to where they're supposed to be trained and who is supposed to be the trainer. My viola professor was a Christian man who genuinely cared about his students. He was very patient, but trained very professionally, and he knew what needed to be done, and he knew what needed to be done in my life. Not all my professors were wonderful, but the training I received was exceptionally good because God was watching over that process. Encourage your young artists, or even you. It's important to be formally trained, and training that is good and professional. And I have students who I knew that this wasn't going to be their life. I knew that they were probably going to have another vocation, but yet God had put such a big deposit in them that it was good to seek some type of training. And so I've had some that have just gone to local teachers there in Kirksville. I've had some that have actually gone to the university and have been trained there. And I tell you what, you know, I'm talking more as a musical background, but, you know, just that one experience with the private lessons and then the experience of being in a formal ensemble does wonders. It's not like you have to do it for years and years and years, but just that exposure is so, so important. It really teaches you something that you can't learn otherwise. You can't read it in a book. You have to experience it, okay? And again, the arts are like that. It's an aesthetic experience. So again, encourage your young artists to seek formal training. It doesn't matter if it's 10 or 5 or 1 talent. I'm wondering if the person who got the 1 talent didn't really understand that it was part of the master's wealth that had been given to him, and that he didn't realize that he had a responsibility for it. And so that's so important, that you help your young artists realize what has been given to them. If you have a skill and have not been formally trained, then I would encourage you to seek some type of formal training. And again, God's arm is not too short. He really can provide. Formal training helps you to keep that gift alive and fresh. It helps it to keep it valid and usable. Remember, the word tells us to be ready in season and out of season. So there's going to be seasons maybe where you don't have formal training, or you're not in an ensemble, or you're not painting, or you're not creating things, but you need to keep that skill always alive and fresh. There's a wonderful transaction that happens in the verses from Matthew, and that is, as you invest in your talent and you give yourself to it, God gives you 100-fold back. What an awesome deal. So even if you take a little bit of what you've done, if that person who had the 1 talent who would have just done the 1 talent investment, he would have gained 1 more. And so that's always something to keep in mind, that it's not in vain, okay? So the next thing that I want to talk about is making a place for the arts. And again, if you're a leader or if you have a voice, it's important to make sure that there's a safe place, and I'll define what I mean by that. And I always look to the word, and so let's do that again. There's a couple of verses here, because some people don't think that art. How does art work in church? You know, how do we bring it to church? And sometimes when we have, like, you know, Christmas time and we want to decorate, we want to have special music or special dance, but I feel like it should be a normal part, like it was a part of my life, should be a normal part of the church life, okay? So in John 14:2, it says, "My Father's home is designed to accommodate all of you." I love it. "If there were not room for everyone, I would have told you that. I'm going to make arrangements for your arrival." And then Proverbs 24:3-4, it says, "By wisdom a house is built, and through understanding it is established. Through knowledge its rooms are filled with rare and beautiful treasures." So God gave artistic talent to man so that first we would know him and then have the ability to bring to earth this artistic and beauty and glory that resides in God. You may not understand what to do with it or how it fits, but God will show you. God showed Moses what he was supposed to do with these skillful men and how they were supposed to bring that skill and make the house beautiful. They were utilized in building of the house, and I love that. When I was in college, I loved the learning of the music, the history, and the lives of the composers. But after I graduated and I was teaching, I felt like there was something more, but I wasn't really sure what it was. Most church people don't know what a viola is, and I won't ask you if you know what a viola is or not, but anyway, it looks like a violin, but it's not. And so in 1988, I became the orchestra director at my church in Tucson, and that was when I learned I could bring my gift into the house. My worship pastor was used greatly of the Lord to pull on me and point me in the right direction. We would do classical music, sacred pieces, contemporary praise and worship songs. She had great vision for using the arts as a part of worship and placing them in God's house. She, in a good way, put, and really from a word of the Lord, I was going to tell you that story, but I may later, but God gave her a word about me. And in a good way, she put a demand on the talent that God had given to me. And so what that did is it made a way for me to bring it into the house, which is what God wanted. So I was totally amazed because I thought, wow, this is wonderful. This would not, though, be the first time that God would put a demand on my talent for me to take it or to bring it somewhere. So again, it was just all part of the process. When you see someone that has been given a talent and has been trained formally and is by definition well-skilled, it's important that you are careful with them. I know this can sound kind of strong and maybe arrogant, which artists are accused of being, and sometimes rightly so, but be careful that you don't put boundaries and requests upon them that in the end are going to kill them or they're going to frustrate them. The boundaries, the values have to be biblical. And I will explain what I mean. God had been so gracious to me. He surrounded me with music from my childhood, provided the means to be trained professionally, and then gave me a place to work, earn a living through my teaching in schools, and then serving in my church. And there was also a handsome young man who was also musically trained. That was part of the package. So anyway, all that I loved, all that I had been taught, drastically changed when we moved to Missouri. Strings were not as popular in that part of the state, and all that I loved was being challenged, and confusion started to set in. In trying to be obedient to my leaders, I began to let things go. In 1998, I had to go back to college and take classes in my profession to renew my teaching certification. And I felt like God was coming to me again and awakening things that I'd let go. I had not been in a symphony for over 10 years, and I'll never forget that first rehearsal. It was absolutely awesome and overwhelming, one that I'd really forgotten because of time. The sounds, the timbres that come from an ensemble of that size and caliber is really emotional. Not to mention the volume that comes from 85 to 90 musicians when you're playing all together. And it awoke something in my soul. I'm sad to say that I'd come to the place where my thoughts were clouded about all of this, and they weren't of God. I began to ask the Lord, this is okay to do, right? It's okay to love classical music, symphonic music. God, is this a test or a provision? And I felt like he was saying that it was a provision. He was coming again to tend to the talent that had been put inside of me. So a short time after that first rehearsal, I attended a music conference. There weren't a lot of instrumental workshops, but there were plenty of concerts to attend and observe, you know, all the levels from around the state. And again, I was so moved by the music. I remember asking God, God, surely this praises you. You created all these instruments, all these sounds, and how they work together and how they fit together. But how does what I do fit in all of this? My school may never have a 50-member band or orchestra, and I know that there are plenty that really don't care for this music, and I appreciate that. I respect that. But God, it's so beautiful. And I hear you in this music. And that's when the Lord began to speak to my heart again. So not too long after that time, our administration changed, and we had new leadership, and a God, again, just like my first worship pastor, used them to start come and pulling on me. Remember your dream. Remember what God's put inside of you. What is your goal? What do you want to do with this? They, in a good way, pulled on me and started to create a place and put a good demand on the things that God had placed within me. So making a place for the arts is very, very important. Through that process, though, what I learned that I didn't know before is I didn't know the word. I didn't know how to apply the word to where I was at. So this is the next thing, is that you need to charge your young artist to know by the word who they are and what's been placed inside of them. So after this music conference, the Lord spoke a very specific word to me concerning the arts and specifically concerning music. And from that time on, it's like God put a special set of glasses on me and a hearing aid, because whenever I read the word or heard the word or anything, I always made it pertinent to music. It's like God was saying, this is how it applies, this is how it works. So I understood in a different way. I understood as a musician, I understood as an artist. So in reading this and seeing things that are pertinent to teaching, to playing, all of that, I feel like it really shows the complicated creative side of God, who is limitless, and he's beyond my understanding. His thoughts are definitely higher than mine, and his ways are definitely higher than mine, but he gives me things of the Spirit that I hadn't even thought about. And I shared earlier, I didn't know how this fit. I didn't know how to put all the pieces together, but through that process, God showed me how it was to fit. So I'd like to share some other scriptures with you. In Isaiah 43:10, it says, "You, whom I choose for special purpose, my servant, in order that you would know me, trust me, be faithful to me. Understand that I alone am God. No God was formed before me, and there is no God after me." And you can put your name in there. So the first thing is that the arts are given so that we will know God. We will know him through this gift that he's given us. Down in verses 18 to 19, it says, "Don't revel only in the past or spend all your time recounting the victories of days gone by. Watch closely. I am preparing something new. It's happening now. Even as I speak, you're about to speak it. You're about to see it. I'm preparing a way." And I love this one in 2 Timothy 2:20 to 21. "In a well-furnished kitchen, there are not only crystal goblets and silver platters, but waste baskets and compost buckets. Some containers used to serve fine meals and others to take out the garbage. Become the kind of container God can use to present any and every kind of gift to his guests for their blessing." Isaiah 45:1-3 says, "Doors and gates open without a fight and will not close. I will go ahead of you and smooth the way, lower the heights, break down bronze doors, and cut through the iron bars. I will give you hidden treasures and wealth tucked away in secret places. I will reveal them to you. Then you will know that I am the Eternal, the God of Israel, who calls you by name." So from that point, I realized who I am. I'm a keeper. I'm a trainer. I'm one who finds hidden treasure that have been hid away in young people's lives. There's a sad joke that goes around saying that musicians are temperamental, half temper and the other mental. And sadly, that can be true sometimes. But what I understand from the word is when God created Lucifer, the instruments were actually a part of him. And when God puts this gift in young artists, it's so much a part of them that when we offer that gift to you, we're really opening up a part of our heart and our life to you that sometimes we don't even understand. And yes, we can be temperamental, I'm sorry to say. There's such emotion that comes with it. And unfortunately, there are famous people that also paved the way in our, the arts history, that the same thing happened to them. Beethoven is a good example. He was kind of known as a grumpy man. And you know what? If you didn't understand music, you were just ignorant. And you just didn't know any better. But the thing is, I don't know if you know why Beethoven is such a great composer. He's great because he put on the earth a sound that did not exist before his writing. And the way he did it was the use of sonorities and harmonies and orchestrations, and then also the use of instruments. He's not the father of the symphony, but he utilized the symphony. And so his ensembles were massive. Now, the ironic thing was when all this happened, he became deaf. And it's always nice when you have these thoughts or these revelations, but then you read somebody else that thinks the same thing. And one time when I was studying him, I'm like, God, you did that. Because he would almost go crazy because of the sounds that were in his head. And he had to write them down. He usually was working at 3 or 4 manuscripts at a time. And so I believe that deafness was a blessing because he had to come to the point where he only heard what was inside of his head so that he could write it out and put on the earth what didn't exist at that time. It's such an incredible thing. And I love, there's lots of quotes that I like of Beethoven, even though he was kind of grumpy. He was a good person too. But I love that he would say, I write music because I believe music changes the world. Not will change, it changes the world. And that's what the arts do. They change the world. Unfortunately, there are other artists like Van Gogh that really did go crazy. There's another artist, Eric Satie, and he was a piano player, and they would bring such beautiful things to the earth, but they were, you know, because it wasn't accepted, it wasn't handled well. People didn't always like Beethoven's music. It was too big, it was too loud, it was too massive, but yet now we don't even think twice when we go hear a symphony. We think that's just normal, and we don't realize that this man really gave something to put that here on the earth. So it's important that your artists know the word and know who they are. And it's also important to make sure there's just things that are going to come out of an artist that just do. It's just part of the gifting. And so we have to be careful not to put boundaries, not to put things just because we don't quite understand or we're uncomfortable with it. But again, God gives wisdom. God gives understanding in how to handle these things. So you have to communicate to the young artists that what's in them is not their identity, okay? They are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And they may be a dancer, okay? I'm a daughter of the King. And I play viola, okay? I'm not a violist and then a daughter of the King, okay? I'm not a dancer and then I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. They have to know who they are in God first and know that they've been giving a gift to steward. Through this process, here's where the word really comes in. It's very important because taking like from Proverbs 3, I trust in the Lord with all my heart, and I don't lean on my own understanding, but in all my ways I acknowledge God, and he gives that understanding to me, and he makes my path straight. So as I continually invest in that gift, I continually bring it to the Lord, then he sows into me what the purpose is, how it all works together. Another thing that is so important is to throw off anything that would keep me or your young artist from finishing the race. That could also be pride, laziness, pressure to perform, not being clear about the charge of the fruit that you're supposed to be producing, and also to keep your gift sacred and holy unto the Lord, really just not being responsible with it, and in essence, hiding it in the dirt. So in 2015, I was asked to become the conductor of the Kirksville Community String Orchestra. And as I was praying about KCSO, I felt like the Lord spoke to me again about being a keeper. one who would lead people to keep this music alive on the earth, for he was the one who truly placed it here. I really didn't want to take the position, mainly out of fear. And before we left Tucson, I had started my master's in conducting, but I didn't get to finish it. And then as we moved to Kirksville, actually that degree didn't exist at the time at the college. It does now, but then, you know, after I started having children and stuff, it's kind of hard. So I didn't feel qualified. I can conduct, but kids, you know, not adults. And so, but anyway, as I was praying about this, God took me to a passage in Luke, and it was about Jesus and the fig tree. So in Luke 13, 6 through 9, it says, "Then Jesus told this parable. A man had a fig tree growing in his vineyard, and he went to look for fruit on it, but didn't find any. So he said to the man who took care of the vineyard, 'For 3 years now, I've been coming to look for fruit on this fig tree and haven't found any. Cut it down. Why should it use up the soil?' 'Sir,' the man replied, 'leave it alone for one more year, and I'll dig around it and fertilize it. If it bears fruit next year, fine. If not, then cut it down.'" I felt like God was coming to me and saying, "Where is the fruit? Where is the fruit in your life concerning this area? I want to see the fruit, and if not, you'll be cut down." Now, I don't know if that literally, you know, God was really planning something severe or not, but I felt like he was saying, "I didn't raise you around music. I didn't give you a full tuition scholarship. I didn't give the opportunity that you had in Tucson at your church for nothing. I want to see fruit from it." There was purpose in my gifting, but there was another demand on it. There was another calling. And really what it was to keep alive this music. There were other people that had that same love that I did, and they just wanted to come together and make music and just enjoy it. So it ended up being just a tremendous opportunity that I had. God is always gentle, but he's firm in his dealings with us. So encourage your young artists to know who they are in Christ and the gifting that's been placed within them. Maybe there was a reason, like me, why this tree, you know, wasn't producing fruit. Maybe there had been damage. Maybe there was conflicting messages, like in my case. But just like this caretaker and the recent leadership that I have, somehow he knew what to do, right? He said, "Wait a second, before we cut it down, let's dig around it, we'll fertilize it, we'll do this, and we'll see if we can get some fruit from it." So creating that place for the arts and your artists to grow is so, so important. And what's wonderful is just God is so gracious, is that if you're that person to make that place for the arts, there's reward in it for you as well. And I love in Proverbs 27, it says, "As workers who tend a fig tree are allowed to eat the fruit, so workers who protect their employer's interests will be rewarded." So not only do we gain the fruit of the gift, but there's a reward in those of you that make that place for it. So as I'm kind of coming to a close here, this last topic that I want to talk about is also very, very important, and that is pride versus being proud. And I've provided just some dictionary definitions there of pride for you that you can read. But as an artist, you have to be so careful about pride. In some, it's very evident. But it takes away from the beauty of the gift, because they just think about themselves. They talk about themselves. They remind everybody around them how good they are, how wonderful they are. And honestly, artists are not the only one guilty of this. I think just as human beings and just as man, we have to be so careful about pride. It's important to remind ourselves all the time that I really had no say-so in the way that God made me. I may have had a nice family lineage, but even that was from the Lord. And if we do not humble ourselves, God will, and sometimes it will be severe. So let's not forget from the word that pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall, Proverbs 16:18. And then God opposes those who are proud, but he gives grace to those who are humble, James 4:6. And again, with that man who was given one talent, maybe it was pride that was like, you know what, I don't need to invest in this. I can just go put it over here and everything will work out fine. And it didn't work out fine because what ended up happening was even that little bit that he had got taken away from him. So we have to be careful that I do see this sometimes with my young players, because once they can play a song and it really sounds like a song and they're not torturing some animal, you know, then, well, I can play Mary Had a Little Lamb, you know. And we may think it's cute. It really isn't. You have to be so careful to direct them in the right place and make sure that, which the next part I'm going to talk about, being proud of what you do is so different than being prideful. So now there's another part of pride with artists that we also have to be very careful of, and that is I've arrived, kind of sort, so to speak. I can do this. I got it. I don't need to practice that anymore. It's good. You know, we've got this down. And so what happens is what was mastered doesn't stay mastered. It becomes sloppy. And it's usually the foundational things. For those of you that are musicians and artists, you know what I'm talking about, okay? For musicians, it's playing in tune. It's tuning your instrument and holding it correctly, okay? The little bit I know about dance, it's putting your arms in the right spot. It's pointing those toes. It's coming on and off the platform looking like a dancer, okay? And I would even say for the little bit of art that I have done, you know, just making sure lines are clean, that your presentation is nice, okay? Just those little things really go a long way, and sometimes we think they really don't matter. So like little foxes, like the word says, like the little foxes, they get in and the lack of quality becomes spoiled, okay? So the vine is spoiled and eventually the fruit is spoiled. And so we have to be careful with that because, again, remember, we have a responsibility to make sure that the fruit stays fresh and clean and alive, holy and sacred unto the Lord. Sometimes backing away from learning all that your craft can give you also is a form of pride, thinking, I don't need to learn that. I'm only going to be doing this. Why do I need to do that? But again, as God gives you understanding and knowledge, sometimes you know what? It's just that ancient path that God says, here's the ancient path. Walk in it. You may not see why you need it then, but you may in the long run see why you need it. So again, if the opportunity comes up to you or somebody says, you know, if you could just do this or whatever, and it, you know, it's a seasoned person, then I would encourage you to really listen and see what you can learn. The one thing that we tend to forget as artists is that we should always be students, okay? We should always be learning, no matter what level that we've come to, even if we're at a master level and we've mastered things. And I say this because I have dear, dear friends who are my colleagues that as God has put me around their company, these are things that I have witnessed them do and say. And for them, honestly, some of them has been very vain and prideful. They don't want to get up in front of an audience and blow it. You know, people are paying money. But I also have two dear friends that are professionals. They're professors that, you know what, they realize that you're coming to witness something. You're not coming necessarily to hear them, but you're coming to hear some quality music. And they want to make sure that the gift that they give to you is of the best quality. That really made a huge impact on me, that they would go and practice, not for the sake of practicing, but just to make sure everything is okay. And I remember a really good friend of mine who plays cello, who is a cello professor. We were asked to play this funeral for somebody who'd given a lot of money. And so she was having to read, I think, like a violin part on her cello, which sometimes is kind of difficult, so, you know, to make these parts fit. And she kept apologizing. And I'm like, it's really okay, because we're all making mistakes here, you know. In the long run, it was fine, but I could see that she felt bad that she wasn't bringing her best at that minute. And it really was okay, but it also made an impression on me because she wanted to bring her best. And especially given the situation, she wanted to do her best for this man who had given of his, you know, wealth. So it's important that we keep in mind that God knows the amount of the deposit. And so if that five-talent person only brought four talents back, I wonder if the outcome would have been the same. Would it have been, hey, you did a great job. Let's go back and try again. Let's try to get the five talents. You know, I don't know. But it's important as an artist that we don't think that we've arrived, but we keep what God has given to us sharp. And I'd also like to look to the word, because I read in the word that when the Israelites were supposed to prepare their offerings and bring them to the Lord, they were supposed to be without blemish. And so we will never be perfect, and that's another talk for another day. But think of excellence, think of skill, think of goodness, because and the word says that, you know, these two men were given the Spirit of God, understanding, wisdom, and skill, but not perfection, okay? So there's a difference there, but to the best of your ability, like we've heard in the word, the best that you can, you're doing it as unto the Lord and not to man. So and here's one last thing that we also need to be careful of is, oh, it doesn't matter. It's for the church. Everybody will just like it. It's for the Lord. It's okay. Well, yes and no. Again, we should bring our best, and not out of pride, but being proud of it, that God has given us something to steward, and so that we have that responsibility, so that we will really receive what the Lord has for us. And in Colossians 3:23-24, and I know I've read this, but I want to read the rest of it. It says, whatever you do, work it out with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know you receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. So see, God is the one that rewards us, and it is God who we are really presenting these gifts to. It's really God. Really, people who come and listen and look at our artwork and experience those things, that it matters, but it really doesn't matter. We're doing it unto him. So on a more positive note, there is a boasting of the Lord that an artist should possess, because when we work hard at our skill and we've invested in it and we've practiced and we've done what we can do and then it happens, oh my goodness, there is such a blessing that comes from that. And as I'm training, I have a group of young string players right now that, you know, they want to kind of nitpick every little note or whatever. And I'm like, look at the big picture. You got through the song, okay? And this is not an easy song or whatever. But when they do get it, just the look on their face is such a blessing to me, because the hard work really pays off. And that's part of that, I believe, that when you go and invest, that's the blessing that the Lord gives you. And so, you know, if you did it that time, you can do it another time, and you can go on to another level. So there is just such a blessing that comes from it, that God lets us in on, that we get to have joy in what he's given us. And it's really pretty incredible when you really are able to play something or make something or do something. And I know for me, I stand back and I go, wow, that is so cool that I get to participate in this creativity that I wouldn't otherwise get to do. And what's nice about the blessing is it's that well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. And I find it's a little ironic that, you know, depend upon where you read it in the Gospels, because There's another place where I think it says that 10 talents were given and 5 and 1. And this one was 5, 2, and 1, I think. And so 10 is a lot. It's not a few things, but yet God says, you've been faithful with a few things, I'll give you more. And so you're thinking, wow, how much more could God give me? But he doesn't run out. So come and share your master's happiness. And I'm wondering, what is the master's happiness? And this is what I felt like the Lord showed me, because it is the Lord himself. And we know, again, from the words that the Lord was the inheritance of the Levites. God was their reward. And so God becomes our reward. His presence, his revelation, just his whole being is rewarded, I believe, to the artist. Not that we're exclusive, but there is a reward that happens. The other thing is, it's the ability or the opportunity to be like Jesus, who was about his Father's business. The arts are the Father's business, and he wants us to be about his business. It's also that tasting of the Lord and seeing how good he is, from Psalm 34. So in conclusion, when we raise our young artists according to the word, knowing who they are, what's been placed inside of them, we train them well, we provide a place for them, and we warn them against pride, then we enable them to speak a language that only the arts can do. It comes through visual and audible mediums. And the Lord uses fine arts to meet people right where they're at. It builds a bridge for them to share an experience or make vision accessible to the average person. You know the phrase, a picture is worth a thousand words. He wants to use it to touch our emotions and witness something exquisite. The fine arts communicate all this in a profound way. When I was the conductor of the community orchestra, one unique opportunity that we had was, this was before I was the conductor. The director at the time had asked my orchestra to participate at one of the first concerts, because given the level of the orchestra, we kind of needed some more music. And I was like, you know, my kids could play. So I didn't have any cellos at the time, and she played cello. So I said, you know, can you play the cello part with this one piece? And she said, sure. So she came to our church, school, and we were rehearsing, and she noticed the auditorium. And so then later I don't remember if it was an email or a phone call, and she said, would there be any way your pastor would let us have our concerts at Life Church? And I'm like, I'm sure. Let me find out. And so sure enough, we actually housed the Kirksville Community String Orchestra for probably like 8 years, I think it was. It wasn't until I resigned, and then the orchestra kind of changed its membership, and actually they didn't fit on the stage anymore. But it was such a wonderful opportunity to reach out to the community, because there were many people actually that didn't even know our church existed. And then second of all, they didn't even know that we had the auditorium that we did. And I had so many people come and say, I didn't even know this place was here in Kirksville. And so that was just a wonderful, wonderful opportunity for our church to have an opportunity to touch the community. And sometimes we would have receptions afterwards. So again, that was just a great time just to kind of mingle. And what it actually did for me is it opened up a door to the community as far as inviting kids to come and study with me, and mainly with the homeschoolers. So, and that was one of the reasons why I resigned. Teaching really is my passion, and it's really what I love doing. And I was getting to the point with Casey, so I was getting a little weary. It's a lot of work. It was good work, but it was a lot of work. And I didn't want to come to the point where I really hated it. So I felt like my time was coming to a close. But the arts can really provide a great opportunity to bring people into the church, or to communicate to them, to reach them. So The arts also provide a way to glorify God and to enjoy Him. The language, the skill, the creativity, all are a way to bring treasures that are in heaven to earth. And God hides that treasure in individuals' lives. I love in John 1:16, and I think this is the voice. It says, "Through this man, we all receive gifts of grace beyond our imagination." So hopefully the arts are a way that can awaken in people the beauty and the splendor of our King, and they can put on full display His majesty, and then also have a symphony too that will be suitable for His glory. So do you have any questions or any comments that you'd like to make? Good. Well, let me pray for you. I really do pray that the Lord will indeed just blow upon your gift. And if you are wanting to help bring arts into the house, that God will he'll open up that way. Again, go to that word and read it and claim it, because that's what He did for me. So, Lord Jesus, we just thank You so much. I thank You so much for the word, first of all, God, that it brings clarity to us. It really does make our path straight. It shows us who we are in You and what You have given to us. And so, God, I pray that these seeds that have been planted in each individual's heart, God, would You personally just watch over it? And as You did for me, God, will You make a place where it can grow and thrive and bring forth fruit that will honor Your name? And God, may it not just be fruit that we enjoy as the body of the church, God, but may it also be fruit that goes out and serves our community and just awakens other artists, God, that need to come in and need to understand who they are in Christ. So God, I thank You again for this opportunity, this time, and I just ask Your blessing upon each person, and let the wind of the Holy Spirit blow through them right now. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Have a great afternoon.